This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 3, 2016. The Sixth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. The apostles are overwhelmed by the authority that they have, for what has been given them by our Lord. This is not a nifty story for you to understand that applied to people way back when. It's there in Scripture to let us know what we have when we are committed to our Lord Jesus Christ. For those of you who were here last week, the homily was about our undivided commitment to our Lord. Not a suggested undivided commitment to our Lord, but a true undivided commitment. The commitment that our Lord demands of us, that is what he expects of his servants. You remember the reading last week said, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. To be worthy of the kingdom of heaven, you have to have an undivided commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ. When we say undivided commitment, I mean a commitment that is part and parcel, the totality of what he has said to us, the totality of his gospel. I beat this one last week. Going to lighten up on it a little because we're going in a different direction this week. But we cannot lose sight of the fact that we must proclaim the gospel that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us. That is a gospel of repentance. The gospel of repentance, because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is no discipleship without conversion. You cannot disassociate those two things. You cannot be a disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ if you are not converted from the way things used to be and have your focus upon him in everything that he says. Not just what is comfortable for some people, just not what is comfortable for you. Everything. Total, undivided commitment to our Lord. That was last week's. But with that foundation laid, what the reading talks about this week is the appreciation that we should have for the position that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. If you have total and undivided commitment to our Lord Jesus Christ, you have to start, hopefully you've done it before, but at least start today after you leave here and think of the appreciation that you have in the understanding that you are a direct representative of our Lord Jesus Christ. A direct representative. How great an honor is it to be a representative of the second person of the Holy, Blessed, and Undivided Trinity? How overwhelming is it to understand that as a committed Catholic, you are a representative of God Almighty himself? Not a representative in as much as, I can say this to people, I invite them to church, I do this, I do that. Not that kind of representative. A representative that bears his authority in this world. I don't think a whole lot of us think about that. That you actually bear his authority. We'll get into our Lord Jesus Christ driving that point home. But we need to start asking ourselves the question. If I am committed to our Lord, as much as I can be on this side, in my capacity, committed in an undivided way, absolutely and totally committed to our Lord, I have to understand that I am a direct representative of God Almighty himself. That's what you are. Whether you like it or not, I don't want to be a director. I just want to go to church. I just like the music. I feel warm and fuzzy when I leave. Guess what? putting your hand to the plow, that's your baptism and confirmation. You did it voluntarily. Maybe not necessarily your baptism, but your confirmation voluntarily. If you put your hand to that plow and look back, you are not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. If you want to be worthy of the kingdom of heaven, you have to understand that he demands undivided commitment. And with that commitment, you have an authority that the world cannot comprehend. You represent the one who has vanquished Satan. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he tells us in this gospel, he tells his apostles, he says, I saw Satan falling like lightning from heaven. I saw him cast out of heaven to earth. And then on the cross, he absolutely vanquishes him. Those last words that he said, it is finished. Satan is done. But just like in military history, when enemies are defeated, for all intent and purposes, you generally lose more people when you're fighting them because they have nothing to lose. They know they lost already. They just want to take as many of you with them. That's Satan. He is vanquished. And he is real, and his demons are real, and they want to drag your souls into hell with them. Because for them, there is no hope of salvation. And they want to drag you down. They will drag as many down. But it is finished for them. Jesus Christ has conquered Satan, but where is he right now? He's in heaven. He's ascended into heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you right now. So he's conquered Satan. Satan is still obviously tremendously active in this world, in this dark and sin-cursed and fallen world where Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Jesus has conquered him. But again, Jesus is personally seated in heaven right now. So how is this conquering manifest? Through his church. Jesus vanquished Satan. But again, he's still kicking and screaming down here, him and all his little buddies. The church confronts him down here. The church is called to vanquish him. You have the supernatural authority to not just this demon thing. You have the authority. You have the God-given power to change human lives, to convert them from the darkness of this world to light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in that gospel, behold, I have given you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Little footnote, don't fall in the trap of taking that literally like a lot of people from my part of the country. I'm from Kentucky. You do still find folks that read that part of scripture and others like it, like the end of Mark, and they're the snake people that you see on TV, and they get killed relatively frequently. God does not mean that you can go out and grab and step on the little critters that are running around there. I highly suggest you don't grab a rattlesnake or a water moccasin. I was like, you're going to get bit, might die. Okay, that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about he's given you authority over something much more dangerous. That he's given you authority over the destroyer of souls. He has vanquished Satan. You, as his representative, have that same exact power. He actually says that in the gospel. You've seen me do great work. You will do greater works than these because they will continue on while I'm up here waiting for. I have given you the power and authority to tread all over all the evil things of this world. We cannot comprehend, but we need to start comprehending and understanding the influence that we have on this dark and sin-cursed and fallen world. St. Jose Maria Escriva, the founder of Opus Dei, talking about this particular verse, he starts out his little quip on it by talking about a conversation that he's having with one of the folks that is involved with Opus Dei. And this person, basically his point, the person's point was, you know, we learn all this stuff, but, you know, we just have to understand that the culture, you know, the culture of this world, it just has so much influence over people that it's really hard for us to, you know, to overcome that culture. St. Jose Maria responds, and I quote, no doubt, that's why you need to be formed in such a way that you can carry your own culture with you. We cannot be influenced by the culture. A horrible thing that's happening in the church right now is the church is letting culture influence the way it presents teachings, the way it tries to present itself. Oh, let's be more like them. Then they will be comfortable coming in here. They should be uncomfortable coming in here. They should not like what they hear. There are a lot of Catholics who visit here on occasion. They don't like what they hear. Guess what? Tough. There's nothing ever said here that I don't go, Scripture this, saint this, this encyclical, this pope, or talk off the top of the head. If that happens, if you're not questioning me, you're questioning Scripture, you're questioning saint, pope, whatever. We don't understand how influential we are out there. St. Jose Maria drives that point home. We carry our own culture with us. It starts in here. It starts in here, and when we change ourselves, then we get emboldened and strengthened to go out there and change individual lives out there. And when individual lives are changed out there, then culture changes. Hold this thought, we're not doing a good job at it. Okay? That's the bottom line. Because I don't think anybody comprehends the authority and the power. Oh, I'm not going to share this with you. You have to. You have to share your faith. If you don't, you're not committed. You have turned back. Your hand is not on the plow. As our Lord Jesus Christ said in the gospel, you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You must proclaim the faith in all its fullness. Emphasized ad nauseum probably last week, the idea that you cannot divide Jesus Christ's mercy from his justice. If you don't understand his justice, there is no need for his mercy. If you are not a sinner, you don't need his forgiveness. If you are not perishing, you don't need a savior. That's the bottom line. You cannot disassociate the two, and that's the message that we have to give to people. Not a question as to, well, I don't like that justice part. Again, tough. That's the gospel. We've got to understand, ask people in the church, that all that is good, you should understand this, but let me stress it. All that is good in this world, and I mean that literally, I'm not using exaggerated language, all that is good in the world comes from Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is some way not involved in it, it is not good. I point out quite frequently, there's a lot of people that you will try to share the gospel. Well, I don't go to church, but I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. How can you say you don't go to church? You violate one of the commandments. That's a mortal sin. You are separated from the grace of Christ. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're not a good person. You are not the arbitrary judge as to you being good or not. His commandments are. His gospel message is. We have to appreciate that. All that is good in this world comes through Jesus Christ. Well, he's in heaven now. That's right, and he left his church. And now the church is the only thing that are good in the, is comes through the church, because the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Or it should be. It should act like it. That's the kind of influence you have on this world. That's the authority you have. You have the authority to be a conduit to save souls from hell into heaven. You. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ. He says in the gospel. Oh, look at this. You didn't hear this part read in the gospel this morning because it was taken out. Problem. Every time that happens. Because generally it's important. But unfortunately, it generally has to do with judgment, how bad the world is, and hell. Our Lord Jesus Christ says in that gospel reading this morning, a part you didn't hear in the lectionary, he who hears you hears me, and he who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Chew on that one for a second. If you are presenting the gospel as Jesus Christ presented it, if you are his committed representative, if you talk to somebody, Almighty God himself holds that to their account. And if they hear you, they hear him. But if they reject what you say, They reject Jesus Christ. And he who rejects Jesus Christ rejects him who sent him. That pulls the rug out from under a whole lot of what you hear. Oh, those people, they deny Jesus Christ, but they pray to God, so they're okay. No, they're not. Jesus Christ says that if you reject Jesus Christ, you reject him who sent him, who is God the Father. You reject God the Father. He who has not the Son has not the Father. There is grievous consequences to people rejecting the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing that you didn't hear, this is what you hear. I tell you, it shall be more tolerable on the day for Sodom than for that town. What town? Because the part that's taken out, our Lord is talking about Capernaum. We all know what happened to Sodom. Our Lord is talking about the other town. That's Capernaum. Capernaum is a Jewish city that thinks it's okay. They think that they're the chosen people of God. We know the law. We have God as our Father. We don't need you, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, and I quote in this gospel passage, you, Capernaum, you'll be exalted to heaven. You shall be brought down to hell. We all know what happened to Sodom. We all know that story. They didn't have a chance to repent. They were that bad. They were that bad that the Holy Spirit, sending the angels, pulls Lot and his family out of there and burns the place to a crisp. Levels it. Didn't send a prophet. Hey, tell them to repent. They were that bad. He just pulled out his folks, the very limited amount that there were, and leveled the place. And he says, it will be better in the day of judgment than what happened to Sodom than to what's going to happen to you, Capernaum. What? A good Jewish city. A good Jewish city who claims God as their Father, who knows the law. We don't need you, Jesus, who claim to be the Messiah. You just go. He says it will be better for Sodom than the day of judgment than Capernaum, because Capernaum had the gospel presented to them. They see Jesus Christ's miracles. They hear the gospel and they reject it. That's a city analogy, but that happens to individuals also. The individuals to whom you invite to church and they gaff off your invitation. You present the gospel to somebody and they just laugh it off, or they're, I'm a good person kind of thing. The same thing applies to them. You fill in the blank. You'll be exalted to heaven. You shall be brought down to hell. That's the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't hear that read today. That drives home the power of what authority that you have in this world of darkness. That drives home what will happen to people who reject your claim to the gospel if you proclaim it in all its fullness. Our Lord really wants us to steer clear of being prideful about understanding that, though. He says to his apostles after they come back, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. This is awesome. He says, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the book of heaven. Miraculous gifts, doing this, doing that, they're secondary. That's kind of weird to think about that. Casting out demons, healing the sick, doing miracles. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, whatever. That's secondary. What's more important that your name is written in heaven? Notice he says that your name is written in heaven. He does not say rejoice that everybody's name is written in heaven, because everybody's going to get there eventually, somewhere or another, bunch of different doors, bunch of different airplanes, whatever analogy you want to use. No, he says rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We should rejoice over that. We should rejoice in being his servants, committed servants, proclaiming his true gospel, the whole thing, not just parts of it. We need to stay in shameful glory and kind of thinking we're all that in a bag of chips because we can do that. But it is gravely important to understand that's how much authority you bear. And as I said before, and I said, keep hold this thought, the church is not doing a good job of it now. Look around you. Look around you. Look at what's emanating from within the church herself. Half-truths, untruths on occasion. Guess what? That's not our business. Our business as individuals to rejoice in the fact that our Lord has given the authority that he has given us to overcome the darkness of this world. The church is not doing a good job of it right now, so we need to do better. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.